Welcome to Sports Gluttons, folks. This is we have made it every week since we started the show. No misses. Some of them have been tough to get to, and we're glad you can join us out there. Make sure you share this to get more. We can get more viewers. So we are 2 weeks from the Super Bowl. I'll have a little bit of exciting news, more personal news than anything else to share. And we're going to discuss the Rams and the, who are they playing? The Bengals. That's who they're playing. How can I forget that? I'm wearing that my favorite uniform. I'm not wearing a helmet because I don't have a helmet, but I would if I, because it's my favorite helmet. I just love the stripes. It's so unique. And had some interesting things going on this week in the NFL with Tom Brady saying he doesn't want to upstage the Super Bowl, so he's not going to announce his retirement, and then announces his retirement. I guess he upstaged the Super Bowl, but you know what? No one really cares right now because they're really focused on the Super Bowl. And then we had some head coaching issues, which we'll talk about, and hopefully we'll talk about during the face-off. And let's see. And we are going, we have our segment that we're always, oh, I didn't want to do that. And we're going to have our segment with Casey Takes. Let's see if we could share a little of her intro. Here we go. Let's get that in there.
Exciting championship weekend is in the books, and that means it's time for some Tasty Casey Takes.
So Casey will be here talking about some of that stuff, some of her views and what's coming up with she had some interesting views coming up, and it's going to be exciting week. I hope it's an exciting show. So let's welcome our first sports glutton, Mr. Lou Schumann from Louisiana.
Good evening.
How are you, Lou?
I'm good, my friend. I'm doing well.
So I'm sure we're going to have some Saints news because we're going to have some, their coach went down, right? Just to touch it quickly. Right.
Yeah, he went down, but he's still on the contract to 25. So that's going to be interesting. Oh my
God. How many coaches are under contract with
I don't know.
Lord, right?
I don't know.
Yeah, there's me. And we'll bring on Casey.
Hey, Casey.
And hey, hello. Guys. Hey, and I don't know what happened there, and I'm really.
Anyways, you were talking about the Saints before we had a freeze. The big news here is he's going to be the coach.
Yeah. And who, they hired somebody?
No. Who is going to be? You know, and the other thing you're talking about down here is the lawsuit about the Rooney rule.
We're going to talk about that. And I did my fabulous graphics. Let's see if I can get that in there. That's my fabulous graphic.
Mm-hmm. You left the team off and needs quarterback.
I don't know what happened. Yeah, you know what? I did this quick. It was.
You got to add New Orleans to that.
Oh, for which? For the coaching?
Quarterback.
Why don't I have them on there?
Right now it's Taysom Hill.
Right. And then I heard today that Aaron Rodgers bought property in Tennessee. But why would they give up? I would take Aaron Rodgers over Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
But, Tennessee was the number one seed. Do you get rid of your quarterback?
Nope.
So,
and the other part of that is Randall Cobb actually has property and lives in the Nashville area as well.
Who is he with now?
Green Bay, I don't know his contract situation, but he's currently a Packer.
He could go also.
Yeah. I mean, that was the scuttlebutt in the sense of, in addition to the Aaron Rodgers Nashville news, there's the Randall Cobb connection down there too. And they're very close.
Right. Yeah, and it's almost like what happened with the Buccaneers.
Okay, here's a question for everybody. The Rams are the second team to play their Super Bowl in their home stadium. Who's the other team?
The Buccaneers.
That's correct.
I also did hear, though, it was interesting because, like, the Niners played close when they played in the Super Bowl at Palo Alto there, which wasn't far. And I believe, I'm trying to remember, there was a Rams team that played in the, I think in the Rose Bowl or the Coliseum, one of the 2 years ago. So it wasn't their home stadium, but it was their home location.
Yeah.
Wait, say that again?
I was mentioning that even though they didn't play in their home stadiums, the Niners played at Palo Alto once in the Super Bowl. And the Rams played either in the Rose Bowl or the Coliseum once in the Super Bowl. But this is definitely the first official, I'm sorry, the second official home stadium Super Bowl.
Yeah, you know, and I was looking at this logo that they, if you notice in the little TV screen, it says Los Angeles Chargers. So I'm wondering if it's like a Chargers actually hosting it and not the Rams, because they both play there. And I think they designate one of the teams, like in the NBA. I think they had a double 1 year with the Clippers and the Lakers, but it's either one or the other. So if you notice on the top left, it says Los Angeles Chargers in the blue.
I wonder if that's contractual for, you know, the whole setup with, you know, can you imagine the contracts for those, for the Rams and the Chargers?
That could be.
Oh, yeah, there's so much money involved.
The Bengals are actually designated the home team because the AFC has the home team this year.
Oh, the AFC, yeah. So, and are the Chargers in the home team?
I don't think it has anything to do with the Chargers. I think it's strictly, you know, they alternate between AFC, NFC, you know, which basically all it means is the coin flip caller, I guess. I think that's the only.
Well, it was in Tampa Bay last year, right? And Tampa Bay is national, and I guess they were the home team. So I'm wondering that the Chargers, like, where is it next year? Is it in Las Vegas next year? Or is it in Arizona?
I feel like Vegas has one of the next several years. I don't feel like it's next year. They're definitely in the
Arizona. The
I think you're right. I feel like Arizona. It's one of the newer, I'm pretty sure it's one of the newer stadiums, because that's one of the, you know, the perks and the things they dangle is, you know, build a new stadium, you'll be in the rotation.
Yeah.
Hell, they even did it, remember they did it at the MetLife Stadium in the Meadowlands in Jersey that year, even though it was, you know,
right,
January/February.
That's interesting. I want to see what, so next year.
Yeah, I'm looking it up too.
I'm just free riding on your guys' efforts to find it. I'm a slacker that way.
Looks like they're playing in State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona.
Yep, there you go. Cardinals. Wonder what the odds are right now on the Cardinals going to the Super Bowl next year.
That could be interesting.
I'd say it's pretty long, probably at this point on Vegas. Yeah. I don't even know. They might not even put them out until after the
Super Bowl, 56. But yeah, that's the best. The odds are going to be in your favor. Take a shot. You never know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was hearing today some of the prop bets. One of them was, will the first kickoff go be a touchback? That's one of the props coming up this week. Or next week, I guess I should say.
Yeah, we're being inundated because Louisiana just passed sports book betting. So all we're seeing is hearing is commercial after commercial. Got the Mannings, you got everybody. And it's like, oh, place, register with us, we'll give you $200 first bet. No, it's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
What's really nuts is how, you know, of course, you know, they wanted to stay away from Vegas and gambling all those years. And now during the games, you literally have gambling ads for in-game bets. So it's not even
you can bet how many hot dogs are going to be sold, for crying out loud.
Color of the Gatorade. What's that? Oh, will the game end in a kneel down? That was another one that's prop bets coming up. Those are the funny ones. You know, they're just kind of.
I saw a couple of the Super Bowl commercials. They're interesting this year.
I heard one guy say, an insider at a beer company said that there would be a beer commercial with a dog in it. That was one
of the... Yes, Budweiser.
Makes sense. That sounds like a Budweiser.
A dog and a Clydesdale. They're the stars.
Oh, they love that.
Yep.
Do you remember Spuds McKenzie? He was one for little, years.
That was the George Patton type English bulldog, I guess it was. Yep.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, God. I watch Follow the Money. It's a sports gambling show. Because when I go to the gym on the cardio machines in the morning, that's one of the channels they show.
Yeah.
So I get all of those out of the, I think it's out of the Circa Sports book in at Vegas. So they give you all of the, you know, the spreads and the props. And it's interesting how many bets. And they were saying, unfortunately, this probably won't be a great betting Super Bowl.
No.
Because people in Los Angeles might not come out to Vegas for the party because they'll stay home. And they say the Bengals don't really travel to Vegas that much. So they're not anticipating a huge.
They're not. They don't. Their fans do not travel. You're right. The thing that's going to be interesting is what's it, 50 points they're saying combined? I think it's going to be half of that. I think it's only going to be 25 to 30. I think it's going to be defense. And very little offense. That's my opinion.
Yeah, especially if the Rams really get after Burrow, you know, getting pressure up in his face, you know, that's to me, that's one of the big keys to the game. Is he going to be flat on his back for, you know, most of the game or not?
Yep, because the Rams have a wonderful defensive line.
And the Bengals did a better job last week at protecting him. They definitely did a better job. But, you know, this is a whole nother up-level step when it comes to the defensive unit. I wonder what the over-under is on a – oh, there you are.
Yeah, I'm having some streaming problems on my end, and I don't know what's going on.
Well, Case and I are carrying it while you're checking.
Yes, but I know that guys could carry it. So, so we had who played this weekend? We had the Rams. Who'd the Rams beat?
49ers.
I'm a little discombobulated right now. Sorry, and my allergies are killing me. I almost wanted to wear my sunglasses, a la Ray Charles, because my eyes are just so bad. So,
you could do your Al Davis with
what
your
is
sunglasses
happening with
on.
This stream.
It's streaming fine.
Again.
Excuse me.
Yeah, it was the Rams, 49ers, and the Chiefs and the Bengals. Right. Those were the games this weekend. So Lou, what did you think of the Bengals Chiefs result?
It's a hell of a way to end the game. We'll end, leave it at that. I was happy with it. You know, everybody down here is Joe Burrow.
That's right.
And you know, the kid did well. He played well. He followed his instincts. He rolled to the right directions, and he dropped it into the pocket to these guys. And hey, they won. That's all I can say. And that was a freshman quarterback. So,
you know, this is my thing is, like I said, since the beginning of the season or the beginning of when the show started, this is not a year of dominance. So it's like Los Angeles kind of deserves to be in it. Cincinnati, do they really deserve to be in the Super Bowl? I mean, they won and they made it this far. So I guess they do. But I'm not surprised that it's these two teams because there was no team that really was dominant throughout. Green Bay slumped at the worst time. How did they score 10 points in their own stadium in the snow of what they're used to? And it was just a bad game. Tampa Bay. What, Lou?
This was the year of defense. Defensive teams won the games for the offense. That's simply put, look at all the games that ended.
That's how San Francisco moved on. Was it against Tampa Bay? They with the punt, the block punt, and the block field goal, and That was very surprising to me. And
you're going to have two defensive teams battling as Tyler and Casey. I don't think it's going to be a high scoring game. I really don't. I think it's going to be low scoring. It's going to be all defense.
You know, I think it's going to be like a 27-17 Rams.
That's what I say, 25. Yeah. You're right.
I mean, you know, a low-scoring game could be good, but it's not fun to watch.
No.
Because you're not chasing. Like, it's always fun when one team is chasing another, but you don't want to see a blowout. You know, if it's 14-3 or 14-6 and they got the ball, you're like, okay, are they going to score? You don't want it to be 24-3.
You want to see it tied at halftime. You want to see a tie at halftime. You want to see a win in fourth quarter. That's the bottom line.
You want to see a tie, Lou, because you want to be hanging on to see Kanye West during.
You know how you spell rap? C-R-A-P, rap.
I've seen some horrendous halftime shows that. I remember one of the All-Star games, NBA All-Star games. So I'm watching, I went out and watched rehearsals. Destiny's Child was singing.
Yeah.
And they're singing. And then they stop, you know, Beyonce stops, the other two stop. But the song is still going in the arena.
Yep.
You know, so it was.
Lip Sync City.
Yeah.
How about this weekend at the halftime of the, I think it was the Chiefs-Bengals halftime.
Oh,
they put the CBS crew out on the field.
Oh, my God.
And they put them right next to the speakers for the halftime show. So the crew, yeah. Terry Bradshaw and Howie Long and those guys are trying to talk. And at the very same time, you have the halftime shows going. You can't hear a word that the commentators are saying because the speakers for the halftime concert are just blaring. And I was thinking, oh, someone's going to lose their job over that one. Someone in the production crew.
They had that stack right behind them, literally.
That was Fox then, if it was Terry Bradshaw.
I misspoke. It was actually CBS. The CBS crew. It was the AFC game. It was Esiason and those guys.
Yep, they had the speaker stacked right behind them. They came live, and the next thing, 10 seconds into the live shot, they hit the halftime act. And you could not hear them at all.
Yeah, no, I don't think they think that, you know, they don't think about it. They don't think about the logistics and.
No, they think they're the only ones on the field and they don't think of anybody else.
Right. They don't.
Somebody should have said, what's halftime? How's it being staged? Before they set the set.
Right. Well, you know, whose fault is that? Whose fault does that fall on?
Well, it starts with the executive producer, and then it drops into the producer's hands.
Right. We bring Rick's picks on. And,
the man.
Hey, Rick.
How did your plays go last week? Do you remember what they were?
All right. Yeah, we hit a couple. Got very lucky. I didn't have that on our show, but at the last minute, I threw some money on Cooper Kupp to score the first touchdown.
I think this is what you had last week.
We'll miss Mahomes. We miss Kelsey. We won Burrow. Cam Akers was a win. But I had a lot.
Cam Akers got hurt, too.
Yeah, he got hurt. And I had a lot more than that. Mahomes didn't run. He never ran. He just kind of spun around and, wow, I'd never seen
him. He had a horrible game. To have a bad game, that's not the game to have a bad game.
No.
I've never seen him look that bad. I mean, he looked like a high school quarterback. He looked terrible.
I didn't get it.
I got one for you. Yeah. I watched the replay of the game a second time, and I was thinking about at the end of the first half when Mahomes basically threw that pass to Tyreek Hill that ended the half instead of getting the field goal. I thought, how is that much different than the Dak Prescott at the end of the game play? Other than the stakes were a little higher for Dak, of course.
Yeah.
But basically, they both, you know, had mental problems, or, you know, not the right word, brain farts, in that he didn't get down soon enough and give the ball to the referee. And Mahomes should have, as soon as there was nobody, he should have dirted the ball at one of the receiver's feet so they could kick the field goal. And that 3 points, you know, you could say it was big, even though it was only the first half.
No, it was big. It was big. I mean, Mahomes completely choked that situation. He knew, you know, you have to throw that ball within 5 seconds out of the end zone get your field goal unit on. And that gave Cincinnati a ton of momentum.
Did they get the ball to start the second half, Rick?
I think they did. Yeah, they did. So I was surprised, boy, when I saw the Chiefs run out to that 21-3 lead, I was like, yeah, this is what I thought was going to happen. And then it just poof. And
then the defense.
Second hit, he fell apart. Mahomes was just I don't know where his head was, but they just, you know, Cincinnati was. And you know, a bad first half, they adjusted very well. And, oh, you know what? We have a – let's go to this. Let's go to Casey.
Among the reasons Bengals coach Zach Taylor deserves Coach of the Year consideration are his second half in-game adjustments. But a less tangible reason is the way he imbues his team with a fast, loose, and free playing style. It was evidenced in the second half when defensive back Eli Apple dropped a very simple interception. And what was Taylor's reaction on the sideline? He had a smile on his face and a let's go attitude. It's going to be interesting to see if he can maintain that in the big game.
Yeah, you know, this is a big that was a great adjustment. Second half adjustments are so important. And I don't know what can't. Kansas City just couldn't climb back out of whatever hole they fell into as the start of the second half. Well,
that's one of the reasons I picked the Bengals. I wrote them throughout the playoffs was just because they play close games because they play mm-hmm. so well in the second half. It's every single game I saw them in big, close games this year. Well, I should say big games. They played close and it went to the end. That's why even the point spread, I'm like, oh, I think it was seven. I think the 7 points was the spread at kickoff.
It was, like, yeah.
Bengals, they've been playing everything close. They won in the playoffs, of course, to get here. But all their big games have been, you know, close ones that they've won.
Yeah, yeah. You know, going back to Mahomes, you know, it's interesting the way we as commentators, fans, we kind of anointed him the next greatest thing since Tom Brady and crowned him Hall of Fame King. And we're all guilty of that. Me as well. But I could tell you this much, not that anyone's ever going to be Tom Brady, but Tom Brady never lost that game. He never choked the championship game at home in New England, up by 18. It was just step on the throat time, you know. So I think he has a lot to prove still with that loss. And, it's going to be.
I wish he would come back. I hope he does a sudden change of mind, but. Like he didn't even lose that game. I don't know what was going on with their offensive line, letting in the guy to block the field goal and block the punt. And I mean, the guy just got in. I mean, who knows? I mean, after what we heard this week with coaches getting offered money to throw games, you know, who knows if a player gets money to throw a game? You know, you get an offensive lineman who doesn't have a lot, and maybe he's not getting a lot of money. Who knows? But how do they get in two times to the Super Bowl champion? Yeah, that was shocking to me.
Their special teams was suspect a lot of the year too. The Buccaneers were not a very well coached special teams team, actually penalties wise too. So they. Arians isn't known for being having well-disciplined teams when it comes to penalties and special teams play. I want to pick up on something Rick said. It's funny because Mahomes, after his first Super Bowl win, you remember they were talking – I was not talking dynasty, but many were talking dynasty at that point. Oh, he's going to go on and win five or six. And I heard – I can't credit the commentator who was saying this. They said he has a very freestyle, freewheeling style of play, which doesn't lend itself, like a Brady, to consistent play. And I have said several times on this program, I'm very worried about Mahomes' mechanics. It's his style. I get it. He's freewheeling. He's a gunslinger. But so many times I watch his mechanics, and these off-platform throws and stuff are great sometimes. But other times they lead to picks, they lead to drops because the ball is coming at a weird angle, it's on the rise. So, again, great player, I love him, but, you know, I'm not so sure about consistency-wise, you know, a.k.a. dynasty stuff.
Well, I'll tell you where Cincinnati really stepped up is, in that game, what you were saying, Casey, is Mahomes goes off script. He spins around. He moves out of the pocket. Excuse me. He looks like he's going to be sacked. He buys the extra 2 seconds. And no one's able to stay with Kelce and Tyreek. But somehow Cincinnati was able to do that, and they kept sacking him. And that play where he lost almost 20 yards in the end of the game and actually dropped the ball was horrid. Was crazy. Like, he almost fumbled. They didn't almost get a chance to kick. He got really lucky. They scooped that ball up, man. Because he switched hands and it got knocked out. It bounced and never bounces right back to you. But he got lucky. So, well, bye-bye Kansas City. And I think we're going to have a pretty good Super Bowl here.
Pretty. So, who, Rick, where are you sitting with this one?
Well, I'm going with the home team. You know, I just, it's because I have them to win the Super Bowl. Money's on the line. So I'm not going to switch it. But I'll be honest with you. The spread is 4 points. And I would be nervous taking the Rams and laying that line, because I think this is another field goal game, personally. I don't know about you guys.
Casey, are you going with Cincinnati?
This one's been tearing me up because, like I said, I rode them through the entire playoffs. You know, I'm literally making my decision right here on the spot, and I'm going to go with Rams on the money line. I think I would take the – you know, I know you don't split it up. Oh, I guess you can split it up this way. But in my sense, it's Rams on the money line, and then four – I would want the point – how would you say that? The Chiefs – Rams not to cover, Rams to win. That's the easiest way to say it.
Yeah, so you're saying it's a field goal game. You take the four and cover the spread. Yeah, I feel like it's a field goal game. How about you guys, Lou?
I'm going with the Bengals.
Oh, you are straight up.
Yeah.
I think it's a 27-17 Rams. But, all right, Lou. Yeah. Lou is going with the Bengals. So, Lou, it's face-off. You got to get why you're going with the Bengals.
Joe Burrow's number one. Number two, their line is superior. In fact, the way I was telling the KC earlier, this is going to be a defensive game. Both teams have great defensive lines. And you're just going to sit back, going to be a low-scoring game. I think it's going to be a field goal that wins it, and that's it. And then again, I'm pumping for Joe Burrows. The kid played a hell of a game the other day. Hope he's got the same minimum this time.
Yeah, but I think, so Burrows comes out, the Rams are ready. Let's say the Rams start off, I mean, it depends who gets the ball first too, but the Rams, if he uses Kupp early and Beckham early, and even if he goes downfield a little bit and they get a field goal out of it, and if their defense stops Burrows early, I think he's going to get shaken up a little bit because they've had some bad games.
It's possible, but you also, too, look at the rebirth of Beckham. He's playing well and looks like he's found a home for the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think the Rams changed their personality when Beckham, you know, it's another thing I stated throughout. Beckham came and the Rams have been a different team, yeah, you know, for whatever reason. And I think he's probably got something approved too. So, and him and Kupp are like magnets. You throw them the ball and.
So what do they got? They got the Rams by 3.5. I saw this afternoon.
Oh, so. I've seen it at 4. I didn't see it drop to 3.5. But it might be. Maybe people.
Yeah, just before we went live, I looked and it was 3.5. So
interesting. It's 3.5, 4. It's a tough one. It's basically the same thing. You can't really. You could push it 4, but you're going to lose in a field goal game tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. I just think it's going to be. I think it's going to be not a field goal game. I think it's going to be.
You're going low score.
I think Stafford's going to. I think Stafford's going to. I think the passing is going to go. I see a touchdown in the first two series. For one team, like one team's. Let's say the Rams get it in the second series. I think I see a touchdown or at least a field goal. I don't see it 0-0 at the end of the first quarter. You know, I could see a 7-3 first quarter.
I'm hoping to see if McVay learned from his last Super Bowl experience because he got really in his own – from all accounts, he got really in his own head that game, outfunked himself, playing Belichick, and, was turned himself into knots. And I'm wondering if his game plan is going to be a little more simplified this time And, you know, with the really using that run game with Akers and Michelle to set up the hard play action. Because, you know, he's got – oh, the other thing is, does anybody know if Higbee is – how he's progressing? Is he questionable, going to play? Do we know?
Yeah, it's a 50-50 proposition, and so is Uzama for the Bengals.
That's the other one, Uzama. Day one without him, to me, is also
good.
Quite
amazing. He's underrated. Nobody thinks –
well, the Rams
when you have four wide receivers like the Bengals – nobody guards Uzama. So when you have those three guys, Boyd and Chase and T,
good point. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, he's the last guy they think of, and he can catch, and he's big, and he's pretty fast. He's definitely underrated. Going back to the why I'm going to stay on the Rams here, I think it's going to be the defensive front of the Rams that changes the game. Now, Tennessee sacked them 9 times. I don't think the Rams will have that many, but I think they will disrupt some of the rhythm. But to Lou's point, Burrow's been unfathomable. You know, he's been on you can't unnerve the kids, so it might not matter. But
who can you compare him to? Who's the last rookie quarterback who's been like him? I can't even remember.
No, I think they say Dan Marino maybe, because I think he got there as a rookie in his first year. But he never got back.
And the Rams didn't dominate the 49ers, right? Weren't they losing?
No. Oh, yeah, they were about to lose. They were down by, 10 or 14 in that last quarter?
It was 13 points in how many seconds?
Yeah, it was 17-7 maybe going into
and that. That was a terrible thing Garoppolo did at the end, throwing that interception, falling. He should have just taken the sack.
Yeah,
but did it really matter at that point?
No.
They were so far
down.
Back.
Yeah, they were. But I think the key was that kid. I don't remember his name, but he crossed up his hands on that interception.
Skoranek.
No. The defense in San Francisco had a pop fly.
Oh yeah,
and he just dropped it.
Tart something. Jacquizzi Tart.
No, was it an apple? It might have been
apple. Apple was the Bengals game.
Okay.
The Niners defensive back was, again, his first name's tough. It's like Jacquizzi, but the last name is Tart. And that was one that was just, that was big. That was very.
It was a pop fly. It was an easy catch.
Yeah.
And that caught, I think if he makes that play, they win basically. But,
So that's, that wasn't dominating. So, and there was turnovers and Garoppolo, I think he kind of announced he's going. He's headed somewhere else.
So, did he announce something like that?
He kind of intimated it, and is Trey Lance? Is that the guy? Is that his backup?
They want him.
Yeah,
they got to play him. They moved up and used picks to get him, so it's time for Trey Lance. I still think Jimmy G is capable.
We're gonna add Eric to the mix here. Hey, Eric.
Hey guys, long time no see.
Right. So, Jimmy G, where could he be going? I mean, there's a lot of teams that need quarterbacks. You know, here's my graphic. Who needs quarterbacks? Pittsburgh, Houston, San Francisco, Buccaneers, New Orleans.
Yeah, you got them all. I don't know about Tennessee. I think they'll keep.
The only thing about Tennessee, I read it earlier, was Aaron Rodgers just bought land in Tennessee in Nashville or something. Mm. So, but again, Tennessee was a number one seed. Would you really? You can't get rid of Tannehill.
I guess you could for Rodgers.
I would.
Yeah,
but you know that would be bad blood for Tannehill. But you know, then you send him somewhere. Because I'm not a big Tannehill fan anyway.
What about Tannehill going to the – because it's got – Rodgers has to be a trade. Remember that. He's got to be a trade. Now, if you're the Packers, some would say, well, you don't trade within the division. You don't want to have him in the NFC. But on the other hand, if you're the Packers, are you really worried about Rodgers in the NFC? Because you're going to be pretty bad with Jordan Love. So, you might as well get – to me, if you're the Packers, you get the best deal possible, regardless of the division. You might get beat by Rodgers a few times or something in your own division, but that's only going to last a couple of years. Whereas if you get a really good trade for Rodgers, I'd go with that over thinking I don't want him in my conference.
Right. But would you go, I would think that you'd want to get like a good young player.
I think they've been talking Denver a lot because didn't the OC go to Denver? Or, I mean, they hired the OC as the coach, right?
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that. They've been talking about Denver. But then a lot of people are saying, does he want to compete against Mahomes and Herbert? You know, they got some pretty good quarterbacks. And you got to deal with Burrow in the AFC.
And then think about it, maybe. Would he want to go? Who else went to Denver? Like Manning was in Denver.
That was it? Yeah, I think so. Manning went there late and won, and he could barely throw, and he still won.
Yeah, he won because of Von Miller's defense.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a liability at that point.
He never messed up, right? He just knows how to manage stuff because he's so cerebral with the game. He was able to keep it ahead of him and not just choke out a game like he didn't Jimmy G it. You know, he's not going to do that to you.
You know what I liked on that, on the TV side? I forgot what team it was. They were showing a guy, number 99. I don't remember who it was. He was a defensive guy. And then was he?
You talking about Aaron Donald?
Yeah. And then they kept showing him. And then he made that great play on Garoppolo at the end. He was a Rams guy, right?
Oh, yeah. He's their best player. He's the
best player. But it was cool that they kept showing him. And then he made that play at the end, rushing the quarterback. And I think it worked out for them. It was a good happened.
He's a game changer, and that's why I think the Rams are gonna win, because I think he's gonna wreck the game for Burrow. But Burrow has been unfathomable, man. He is just hard, he's slippery. He really broke Kansas City's back in that last, every time they had him, he gained 9 yards. He just slipped out and ran for first downs. It was wild, absolutely wild. But I think the Rams have a better chance of beating the Bengals than somehow Kansas City. So I think they got lucky.
They're going to beat him. I don't like the 4.5, though. But I don't know how much you guys have already talked about the game, but I did put a bet down on the Rams, $30, after they beat Tampa Bay in the regular early season. So I'll clear 270 if they win. No points. I'm excited about that.
Well, you might as well go to Best Buy and order something, because it's probably going to fall your way.
Same with me.
Hopefully.
I put 100 on the Rams in August at 11.
Oh, wow.
At 11-1.
Oh, my God. So you're looking at 1,100.
I am. No points.
Oh, my. That was a good bet.
Yeah, it was. It's like they were hyping them up, and with that Matt Stafford coming, I'm like, let's see.
You must be stoked. Have you ever won that much money in a bet?
That's close. I've won more. But
because back then – it was really – it was up in the air. No one was solid, so
– Yeah.
Rams didn't have Von Miller or Beckham either.
No, but they were – you knew they were going to be good, though. They had the coach. They had they had the running game. They had the defense.
But the Packers in Dallas, I think, looked better.
Yeah, that's why it was 11-1. They were way lower. Packers, Dallas, and the Bucks were all way lower odds. But –
Eric, what's your take on the game?
Well, I just want the Rams to win. I think it's going to be a fabulous game. I remember in 18, I had such high expectations, made a lot of bets on the Rams, bet on the over, thought it was going to be a aerial fireworks show. This will live up. I think this is going to be a very exciting game. Either team can take it. I think the Rams being in SoFi hopefully will be the extra difference. It probably depends down to the quarterback if Stafford can keep playing with his composure. But you can't count out Burrow. But I think the Rams kind of overmatch him.
Good call.
You know what would make it super exciting? If the Rams score first and then the Bengals score. Like, and then you're like, okay, now who's
going to adjust? You mean in an overtime?
No. First set of downs.
Oh, I think
first series.
You can bet on that.
You know, that would be pretty cool if the Rams or the Bengals score and the other team comes back right away And then you're like, yeah, okay, we got a game because either team could score on the other team. They just proved it.
Let's have a close offensive game and have the Rams win so me and Rich will be happy.
Yeah, it's okay. It's with a K, though. Rick, with a K.
Sorry, Rick.
That's all right.
Rick.
And I'll be rich, too, if I do win.
Well, no. Right, that's what I meant.
$1,000, I mean, it's not going to change my life, but it will be fun to win.
It's always fun to win. It's not, you know, that's the thing about gambling. It's like, it's never going to change your life. If you're an addict, you're going to lose. You're going to change your life because you need to keep on going. But, totally. You know, it's just the thrill. It's the fun. Even if you have 10 bucks on it, you don't want to lose 10 bucks. So you're happy to win 10 bucks. It just makes it a little more exciting.
So, well, talking about that, Todd, like you guys last week, my picks on this show were the Rams and the Bengals. I didn't put any money on the games, but I had my, you know, because I had made that, you know, prognostication, I was a little more into the game. I'm like, oh, what's going on? What are you doing? So, you know, literally just like reputation wise, it meant something to me, let alone, you know, having, you know, 100 or 90 as these guys are 30 actually, you know, on the game.
Well, I'm in two football pools. One is it's $100 to join, and it's there's like a ton of people in it, and it goes the whole year. It's how many wins you have of the day, and it's $250 at the end of the day. So it's 17 or 18 weeks, but it only cost you $100. I mean, you're against a lot of people, but you still got to pick the winners, and it's $250. So I won one this year, so I made like $150 on it. And then the other pool I'm in is $50. It's a death, whatever. It's like you pick one team, but it's $50 for the whole year, and it was an $8,000 prize.
How long did you last?
Oh, Buffalo on the first week.
Did they lose week one? I hate those.
Week one.
I stopped playing those. I can't handle them. It seems so easy, and then you get a Buffalo on week one.
Right, but for $50, I'm like for $8,000.
You didn't get a run. You didn't get a ride at all.
Not at all. It's like, but the other one, you know, when that one starts next year, you know, I'll put the links up if anyone wants to join us, because especially the one that's $100, that's a fun one because, you know, you're in for the whole season for $100. And like I could start one, but I don't have enough people. And so, and this one's already made. So for $100, you're in for the whole season and you pick 15, you know, every game and the winner. And, you know, it just keeps you more interested in the games. Like I wouldn't really watch it unless I'm in the pool.
Betting incentivizes everything, but, like last week, I'd put $10 on the Bengals to win the conference after they beat the Raiders. I wanted to get it in before, so that was 5-1. It made it a lot more exciting, but I still had $20 on the Rams, and I lost in the individual bet because it's 3.5 points. Those points really kill you, so they can also kind of upset your. You know, you sometimes it's better just to watch the game without betting. You know,
well, yeah, sometimes because it gets you. Huh? What?
The hook, as they say, is a killer. That is the killer. When I saw 3.5 with the Rams, I was like, "I'm bringing back this bet. I'm gonna do it for interest's sake." But I don't like it. And my brain said take the 49ers, but I couldn't do it. But even the Bengals with that 7, I was like, you know, Kansas City's been playing everything close. They haven't blown anybody out in a long time. This is they're not gonna cover this. And
how much did Kansas City score in the second half? What was the final score?
Did they score at all?
No,
they
really
scored three, right? It was 27-24, I believe.
Brutal.
Yeah, they struggle.
McFearless kicked the game-winning in overtime.
Oh, that guy on Twitter, he's got 12 in a row, that kid? Wow, he's killing it. He's smooth, boy.
He's one of the
– So let's go around the horn. Let's go around the horn. I'm going – even though we're in Bengals, I'm going Rams. I think it's 27-17 Rams. Lou, what do you got?
Joe Burrow's and the Bengals.
He's going straight up Bengals.
Straight up Bengals. It's going to be a low, in my opinion, it's going to be a field goal that wins the game. It's not going to be the 50 that they're saying. It's probably going to be 25-27 points, and that's it. That's my feeling.
Casey, where are you looking?
I'm going with the Rams because of the defense. I don't think the Rams will cover, though, using and I'm thinking 4 points as the spread.
Ooh, tight game. And Rick?
I'm going Rams, but I also don't think they're going to cover the spread.
Wow. I got them covering. I got them by 10. Eric, where are you going?
Probably 24-20, not covering the spread.
Wow. Wow. Well, what's all right. We're going to see what happens. We're going to head into the head coach thing real quickly. But before we do, I have like a little exciting news. At least it's more exciting for me. I think, you know, I think I told you guys last week that I'm doing the pregame show for NBC. And I found out it's a 5-hour show. But then I got a call. And this was pretty exciting. And they said after the show, the pregame, they want me to roll over and be part of the game graphics. So I've done 8 Super Bowl shows. This is my first game, and I'm pretty excited about actually doing the graphics on the game for the Super Bowl. So,
that's incredible, man. Congratulations.
This is pretty exciting. Like, I thought I had, like no shot at this because I don't work for NBC. But this was like when NBC, I got called to do the gold medal game in Brazil.
The reason you're called is China. After all the people are over in China.
That's not why, Lou.
Congrats.
No, better than Wyoming.
That's not why. They need
he got
talent.
Called because he's good at his job.
No, he is. I'm not saying he's not. I'm just saying he has not worked for NBC, his words, and it's the reason they're having the Olympics opposite the Super Bowl.
Oh, right, right. But also in Brazil in 2016, I was a request to do the gold medal game for the men's basketball. But it's pretty exciting. Like, I never did a game, and I'm pretty excited to do the Super Bowl. And
isn't it kind of hard to concentrate without, like, becoming a fan?
No, because I'm not really, like, a super fan. And I get into the game, like this is like the show is like that we're doing here, the analysis. I really get into the analysis of the game. Like for instance, remember when the Rams, who they play? New Orleans, Lou, right? Wasn't it in the conference finals when they had that pass interference that wasn't called?
That's correct. Yep.
Remember that? And they said, oh, you know, the game was called on that. And I'm like, thinking about it, and it's like the game, that's not where New Orleans lost the game. New Orleans had the ball in the red zone like 5 times.
True.
And scored 1 field goal. That's where they lost the game. They didn't lose it on the pass interference. They had plenty of chances. It was a bad call, but they had plenty of chances to score. So
I'm curious
to
see who the crew is for this Super Bowl.
What was that?
I'm curious to see who the officiating crew will be for this Super Bowl.
Oh, you know what? Wait a second. We have a thing. Casey did something on that. Wait, let's see if I can get that in here. Here we go.
One of my favorite parts of the championship weekend was that the games were not over-officiated. In the first game, the refs even got together a few times and picked up some flags. In the second game, other than a taunting penalty I didn't agree with, it was the same thing. And to be honest, I don't need a bunch of delay of game penalties. I'd rather have a free-flowing game. I kind of hope they pick one of these officiating crews for the Super Bowl.
You know, yeah, that's well stated.
That's a great analysis. I was so nervous when the Rams were making all those great defensive plays that they were going to get up. Pass interference. That was really a good point, Casey.
Yeah, it was. You know, it was better than the week before, where the referees were getting in the way of the ball, and holding the ball, and the delay of game penalties, and
for the Dallas game.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm talking about. That was ridiculous. I mean, you know, at least stop the clock or something, but don't hold the ball, and then there's a delay of game penalty. You know, that was. We need some good officiating on that. So, anyway, you'll have another feeling on the game when you see the graphics. You'll probably feel it better. You'll bond with the game more. So let's move on to the coaching fiascos that's been going on this week. you know, and I wonder the opinions. Brian Flores and another coach comes out with accusations on
Hugh Jackson.
Yeah, right. And of course, the Miami owner comes out and denies it. I mean, he's not going to not deny it. Of course, he's going to deny what, you know, saying that. But how does a coach throw a game? I mean, does he call bad plays? How do you think you do that?
I think you sit your players, best players at times. You know, you don't have your best running back in for a key third down. Those guys are smart enough to call a play they know is not going to work.
Do what Mike McCarthy does. I mean,
we've seen plenty of those too, those kind of plays that don't work. You can question a lot of things on those little like screen passes on third down. And what are they thinking on those?
Or he could call a run on a fourth and one or fourth and two, you know, or I think a coach can manipulate the game quite a bit. Just his whole energy for the week.
So what do you think? What do you think about Brian Flores coming out?
I think I think he's the Rosa Parks of the. He's so courageous. He was still up for two jobs that he might have gotten. I mean, I think what he sacrificed his whole career, his family's future, unbelievably courageous. I hope he has some kind of documentation of this, of the games or with John Elway. I don't know how you can document that kind of stuff, but I think the text really speaks for itself, and he seems like a really together guy, and I feel sad for him personally, kind of, that he's like going to sacrifice, you know, maybe he can get a job in college, but I think it was pretty dramatic.
What about the Belichick email?
I think he's getting a job, but Eric, I think he'll get a job this year.
Yeah, but it's, you know what this thing also points up is that disparity where they hire these minority coaches for 1 or 2 years and fire them after 1 year. I don't think that's been brought up enough, the statistics on how these coaches just kind of are place setters for a while. I think that's a big part of the lawsuit.
Some do deserve to get fired. As a Charger fan, Anthony Lynn wasn't a good coach. I don't care if he was green or blue. He deserved to get fired. So,
well, right. He had 3 years. But, I mean, I think there's been like since Mike Tomlin, I don't know, or before Mike Tomlin, there's been like 122 head coaching hires, and 10 of them have been African-American.
Eric, I'm gonna face off with you with this one. So, you know, he sounds like he came out, and we could talk about the Rooney Rule after, but he seems like a little bit bitter, and I'm wondering if this bitterness comes through in his interviews. Maybe he has problems with people. I mean, no one's talking about it, but who knows how he comes across in an interview.
I happened to be at a hotel relaxing yesterday, taking a day off from life, and I watched every interview, MSNBC, CNN, CBS, and he came across very cool, very collected. I think it's weird.
Yeah, but so did Antonio Brown, right?
No, I've never seen Antonio Brown do a coherent interview on national.
Yeah, at the end of the whole thing, he comes out. He sounds very normal, like he's got a good point.
Well, I was kind of interesting timing, but I haven't heard anything negative about him. I've heard a lot of positive reinforcement. I just think he's a very brave soul to do this and sacrifice. The one interesting thing is there were no great white players. No, I could see current players not wanting to get involved, but no Peyton Mannings or not any famous player white stood up and supported this guy's.
Well, they don't know him. Claim. I mean, you can't come up. You don't know the guy.
Well, you don't have to know him personally, though. I mean, come on, Todd. You're not going to say there's a disparity that a lot of black coaches don't get opportunities that white coaches with less experience get. You can't see that.
I'd like to interject something here on that. This old saw about he doesn't interview well, he's hard to get along with. You look at Eric Bieniemy. All we've heard over the years that he doesn't interview well, and that's why he hasn't gotten a head coaching job. Or he doesn't call the plays. Andy Reid does. But lo and behold, you know, who does – is getting jobs. This guy, what's his name, O'Connell, just got it. Conley or O'Connell, I apologize. I can't. He's, you know, Sean McVay's offensive coordinator coach, and suddenly he doesn't call any plays, really, and he's got a job now. So, you know, that's almost like a subtext or a pretext that guys don't interview well. And one other thing on that, this week in a press conference, can't remember which owner said, he was introduced, my coach says, he reminds me a lot of me. Well, what black coach reminds an owner of himself? And let's face it, black men who are intelligent and have a presence, unfortunately, they are feared in those rooms. At times.
They're threatening. Exactly. They're threatening. And so you hire who you feel comfortable with, who you know. But
when I say didn't interview well, I mean, if he comes in with an attitude, like you come and say, you know, I'm not going to, I know you're not going to hire me. I mean, it depends what kind of attitude you come in. Plus, the Dolphins had a weak schedule. You know, the last games, they won a lot of games, but it was a weak schedule. It's not like he proved himself as a coach.
That's not true.
Oh, come on, Todd. True. He went eight and one in the year before he went 10-6.
As a coach. He totally proved himself as a
totally.
Coach.
Totally.
What was he like, 24-25 or something?
They were a terrible team. They were winning.
They were terrible.
And they had a hurt quarterback.
Where did you come up with he didn't interview well? I haven't heard any.
I'm not saying that, but no one's going to say he came in with an attitude. I'm just saying because he came out so quickly, like he didn't even let the interview for the season finish. Like he just came out very quickly.
Well, they've been done for a month.
He got fired because he didn't take the bribe. He didn't throw games. That's why he got fired.
They didn't get their draft pick. That's exactly why he got fired. And that's why the lawsuit happened.
I heard he got fired because the quarterback couldn't stand him.
You keep saying that, but I haven't heard that from anywhere else.
I'll find it.
Find it, because I think he got fired because he wouldn't take the bribe. And
it's not just about him. It's a class action suit. He's the brave one. A lot of guys are going to jump on this lawsuit.
Bill Belichick was the brave one for messing up his tweet or his text.
He must have done that on purpose. You know,
no way.
Why would he all of a sudden have that guy's name?
It's happened to me before. I've texted somebody named
my
Daniel.
My mom got sick recently. Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
No, please go. Go, Eric.
My mom's had a health crisis, and I get all these texts all the time. I've probably sent text to the wrong people 3 or 4 times. It's really easy for that to happen.
It is.
Especially,
I got 2 Daniels in my phone right next to each other with both last names start with E. And I've often sent text messages, luckily nothing that was embarrassing, to the wrong guy. And then you catch it and say, not meant for you. Right. The problem was he congratulated him on the Giants job, which the guy was going to interview for. I mean, that's where the cat came out. I mean, he was like, what the frick?
Like, well, don't you think that Rooney rule is a horrible rule? Because if you don't have an intention of hiring somebody, but you're going to interview them, it's a waste of everybody's time. Everybody should be hired on quality alone. And it's just like, oh, I am forced to interview a minority person, and I'm not going to hire him. So what's the point of forcing me?
Well,
he's not going to suddenly convince me to hire him. Now, if I like Brian Flores, I go, oh, you know what? He had 8 games in a row. He won 7 in a row. I want to talk to that guy. At least you know it's an honest interview, because you're not, you know, if I'm a minority and I'm thinking, oh, I'm only being interviewed because of the rule, why am I wasting my time going? But if there's no rule.
Real quick, Eric, if I could get in, I'll give you an analogy a little bit. Sometimes when I do audition tapes for roles that I think I might not get, it's because I want to get in front of the casting agency and at least be out there. The Rooney Rule, one of the intentions is at least to get these guys in front of the ownership that they might not get in front of at all, because you never know. They interview well, but the owner thinks, I really don't want him. I want someone else. And then one of the owners talks to another owner and says, you know, I interviewed, you know, Raheem Morris. And he wasn't the right fit for us because we didn't want a defensive coach. But, you know, he might be good for you. Or so that's one of the reasons, because they just weren't even getting in those rooms. It's like the offensive and defensive coordinators, I believe right now, there are only 11 total black offense and defensive coordinators with a,
in a league that has 58% black players. Yeah.
70.
I've heard 78%.
It's 58 this year, was close to 70 last year.
Okay, thank you.
You're right.
Those are good points, Casey, but the reality is I think they Brian Flores saw an opportunity. There was finally concrete proof that that's how they probably felt a lot of times, that they were just being called in to satisfy the Rooney Rule, and finally they had concrete proof. I agree with your point. It's a good point. But the bottom line is these 32 owners, I believe one's from Pakistan and the rest are white billionaires. They're afraid to entrust their franchise with a black man.
Straight up.
Agreed.
Straight up. Now, the NBA seems to not have this problem, right? They got, I think, 13 black head coaches out of 30 teams. Right. That's 43%.
Russell was a coach in the 60s, man.
Yep, he was a coach player. Yep.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was reading some stuff on it, and it all stems back from, like, when they would kind of try to, if you were a black quarterback, they'd kind of steer you away from that position, which, you know, which is a problem, because if you see, there's been a lot of coaches that are quarterbacks, or even if they're not great ones, they turn, you know, like the guy in Indianapolis and some of the other ones around the league. But I think that is changing, as we can see now. There's several more black quarterbacks starting this year. And as they get older, maybe, you know, it'll be easier for them. But nonetheless, there's so many qualified guys today on the sidelines that deserve a shot and are probably, hopefully will get one. But yeah, they've really messed this up badly. But, you know, why isn't Eric Bieniemy a coach? You know, we talked about the guy from Tampa Bay, Brian Leftwich, seems to be very capable.
You know, talking about that, it's like,
Aaron,
remember when the John Gruden thing happened? Wasn't that the thing with the emails? That got squashed pretty fast. Remember they said, Washington and this and that. That got squashed. I wonder how fast this is going to get squashed.
You know, in that regard, Todd, something that's interesting is that the NFL's immediate response to the lawsuit was, it's without merit. And, okay, if you want to talk about the class action part, the hiring part, but think about the part about the throwing games thing. And think about Deflategate. We spent 18 months, I think it was, intensely investigating Deflategate. And here we are now, we have this, you know, throwing games, and their first reaction is without merit. Now, in the last day, I think they saw that was not the best thing to say, because they've come out now and said, we're going to fully investigate, which is just the throwing games part. And one last point on that is, think about being a black coach. You know, you have very little rope. And now your owner is saying to you to intentionally throw games. You're basically sabotaging your future as well.
100K for a loss.
No, we lost somebody there. Yeah. Who knows? I mean, he's probably telling the truth about the games, but $100,000 to throw a game. How much was he making? I wonder how much he was making to begin with.
So, that franchise ownership has been such a horror show too. So it's, you know, sometimes you look at, you know, where this is happening. The fact that it's happening in Miami, where, you know, the owner made them pick Tua, for example. You know, that was an ownership decision, is my understanding. And it's not the best place in the world. If this was, you know, against a franchise like, let's say, the Giants, which, you know, even though they haven't been doing well, they're not a horror show when it comes to their internal. It happens in Washington.
Yeah. Right. So Brian Flores was making $3 million a year and one of the highest paid coaches in the NFL. So
that's not one of the – aren't the higher paying guys making 5 to 8? 10? John Gruden's making 10? He would have only made 800,000 more if he lost every game. But what he kept saying in the interviews is it's about integrity. It's an insult to the game. It's an insult to the players. The players, no matter what team they're on, are playing for their future contracts. And you're hurting players by taking that.
problems with that. If she doesn't take care of it within 20 years,
she'll be like me.
Yeah.
Okay, though. Good night.
You know, and one of the things as well, when it comes to the throwing games, possibly, we have another situation. Is it you, Jackson? Am I? Because there's Marvin Lewis and you, Jackson. And sometimes, you know, their situations get confused. But like you, Jackson, he said he got that kind of pressure in Cleveland as well. And again, another ownership situation that you know. When I hear things by Cleveland or Miami or Washington, it's really hard not to think smoke and fire. It's just so difficult because they've just been so horrific the last few years.
Well, the Cleveland thing, because I listened to an interview today specifically about that point, and Hugh Jackson was interviewed, and that wasn't like where he said they said it had to be losses. It was all kind of analytics, like high draft choices and a bunch of ways to clouded over from being that deliberate. But you mentioned New York, and I believe while they don't have the bad reputation of Ross and the Washington owner Snyder, I don't think they've even ever hired a black coordinator. But I am a little surprised that Denver's in the lawsuit and making accusations that someone looks hungover. Like, how do you prove that, and why did you lump them into that lawsuit? You know,
what do you mean hungover? What do you mean?
That's one of his assertions. He said that they came an hour late for his meeting when he was interviewed in 2019, John Elway and other executives. And he had he used that wording in the lawsuit that they appeared to, from a night of drinking, they appeared disheveled from a night of drinking the night before.
It's the allegation is basically that that was another sham kind of interview, just to meet the rule.
But how do you prove someone's hungover, you know, and that they were late?
So who made that accusation?
That's in the lawsuit. Brian Hughes, that's part of Brian Flores, part of his lawsuit.
Yeah, see, that's, you know, what are you going to, that's, I mean, that all of a sudden detracts from your other stuff. It makes it, what's the word?
Gilding
when you try, what?
You could say it's gilding the lily, that old expression about you're trying to put a little too much into it, maybe that you shouldn't have. That's going to be the counter allegation, is that basically, you know, you're reaching, you're grasping at straws with that one. The problem the NFL has is that, you know, the overall picture of what they've done over the last couple of decades doesn't look good. So, you know, these allegations, no one is like shocked at any of these allegations. I just don't feel like there's anyone who's thinking, oh yeah, no, this is totally off
the wall. Todd, you're not, you don't see the point. You don't think there's inequities in hiring in the NFL?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying is that, okay, a guy that all of a sudden doesn't get a job, I mean, there's still job openings, immediately comes out with accusations, shows me signs of bitterness. And if it's that quick, when he's being interviewed, if his attitude is just somewhat bitter, then, you know, you need someone to lead the team that's positive and team playing. And if
I'm sorry to interrupt, but he interviewed for that Giants job after Bill Belichick sent him the text. How do you ignore that? You can't hide that from your internal psyche.
That's the fault of that Rooney rule, because they obviously did, you know, they decided they wanted that guy. That's not a slight on Brian Flores. It's not on the Giants.
Right.
It's a slight on the rule.
He might have interviewed bad for the Giants job, but he is a finalist for the Texan job and the Saints job. And he chose to come out with this now and probably forfeit his chances of those jobs. So he really sacrificed his personal.
That tells me psychologically that he was very impulsive. He couldn't control himself. He should have been more disciplined. If I love the sport and I want to coach, I'm going to wait it out. And I'm going to see what happens. And then if it comes down that I can't get hired, then I'll start making accusations. But
Todd, well, two things on that. That sounds like the old tough shit, chew harder, which I, you know, I don't agree with. And the other thing, which, you know, I am not a person of color, so I have to say this with a grain of salt or however a caveat of that, the preface, that how long do they have to wait? How long do they wait for their rights?
Right.
How long do you keep quiet? And
I understand, you know, but it's, I just think he was impulsive. I think showed to me, if we're looking at behavior, it shows to me an impulsiveness on his part. And if that's the way he is, that could be the way he coaches, and we don't hear about it, but he could have a problem with players because he has an impulsive attitude, just like that Jacksonville coach when he went and kicked the guy and did this.
You can't compare him to what's his face. Todd, I watched this thing wall to wall yesterday. All the former players on ESPN who had played on the Patriots were totally supportive of this guy. He was on Belichick's staff for over 10, 16 years. There was no bad dirt on this guy anywhere.
Right.
He's got an impeccable reputation, and he's sacrificing it.
Right. I just think that sorry, Lou. No, it's all good. I had your mic down because.
But as I said on the show several weeks ago when we broached the coaching way before this even happened, you know, I take offense with like that Campbell guy on the Lions or Staley, who just had 1 year as a defensive coordinator, and they're getting these jobs, and people like Bieniemy and Leftwich aren't even interviewing.
Hey, Todd. I never asked for this, but would you mind playing my last take today? Because I think it addresses this. It's about the Texans. I don't like to ask, but I think it's all germane.
Right. Yeah, it's relevant. Let's listen to it.
Or I could just say it, because I just know it's encapsulated there.
Why don't I see it?
Oh.
You know what? Because I don't, right. I see it. Okay. I will. I got to load it up. But I just think that you know, people, we all know, we've all done things where we go, oh, man, I just, you know, I could have waited before I said something because maybe I was, you know, a little bit impulsive and wrong and I misjudged it. I think he got that text and he didn't jump to conclusions. It was just a bad thing. The Giants decided to hire the guy, I guess. And then this was before they interviewed him, but he still had the other interviews to go, and he might have got ticked off. You know, murderers sometimes just lose control. They're impulsive, and I'm using a hyperbole, but an impulse sometimes, when it's uncontrolled, makes you do something that's not rational. And I just think that he should have held off. If he's a finalist for coaches, and if that's really what he wanted to do, he should have held off and then just.
Of course, that's the logical thing. That's the selfish thing. That's why I call this guy a hero, and he's being called the Rosa Parks of coaching civil rights, because he is sacrificing his personal future. That's what makes him courageous. And I don't think he's impulsive. He wouldn't get to the level of head coach for 3 seasons, 16 years on the Patriots, if he had the personality of a murderer, Todd.
Right. No, that's not what I'm saying. I was not making that. I was just using it as an hyperbole. But Eric, you can't walk away just because I'm winning the argument.
The cat was crying.
To make the accusation, like you were saying, I didn't hear about it, that the guy came in hungover. Like, first of all, even if he did come in hungover.
No, not the coach, Elway.
No, but even if he did come in, first of all, how do you judge that? Because maybe he even said it. Maybe he said, I got a hangover.
No, I'm agreeing with you. I don't know why that's part of the lawsuit. That, to me, takes away from the other part.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. Just
that accusation alone tells me he's just, you know, he just doesn't, he's not controlling his behavior and he's not behaving rationally. And so that to me takes away from him.
Bottom line, he was basically there to satisfy the EEOC that they went into the minority community and they were interviewing. It's just like in regular job world. They were doing it to satisfy the.
But I think he could have landed a job. I think he could have definitely landed a job. Like, for instance, the Jacksonville guy. He's on tape. There's nothing to dispute what he did. That coach at the in the bar and kicking the guy and
in the same vein, look at the coach's record. He spoke.
He's got a history of crazy behavior, so it's no surprise.
Right. But he's like, it's fact. So now he makes accusations that he's being bribed. A guy is hung over, you know. And to me, saying somebody that's hung over, that's petty. I consider that petty. And so the whole behavior of him to me, like if that comes across in an interview, a pettiness, then that's what I mean by interviewing bad. Like if you come in and your attitude is petty, this quarterback in Miami, he was an 8. I didn't like the way. Oh my God. You know what? You're annoying.
Put the coat on the other way. What if you come in prepared, ready for the interview? And they're asking you questions that are irrelevant.
And Todd, he had 11. I believe he had 11. He's had 11. Sorry, Casey. He's had 11 head coaching interviews before. So I think he's just fed up.
Yeah, he knows the drill.
What I was going to say was, I was an attorney and I practiced law and filed and drafted complaints. And one of the things that the decision in that complaint to put in the Denver item is, of course, when his attorneys are interviewing him, getting all of the facts, they're going over every interview he's had, every time he's felt like it was just a sham. And they get all the facts from him. And then they have to decide what's going to go in the complaint. And when they're doing that, they're also they're trying to make a prima facie case that will uphold from a dismissal, motion for dismissal. So they throw that, they're thinking, I think, I have to go in their heads, is that they want as much as they can to show that basically this is just a token system that is set up and is not a real avenue towards getting hired. So, you know, him putting that in there, it's really a legal decision by his attorneys to use that to try and overcome some legal motions later on. So, yes, maybe it was a mistake. It's a judgment call. But I don't put that on him as him being petty. He's just going based on what his recollection of the interview process was, probably throughout his interviewing career.
Well, we're gonna see how it all plays out. You know, it's just too bad that I would have liked to see him get hired, and I would still like to see him get hired. And maybe there's going to be an owner that
hey, there she is.
She's now going to get an executive producer credit on this.
Right. You know, I see people get awards for stupid things like that, for walking in and they get a I just hope there's an owner brave enough to, you know, hire him. I mean, Houston is just a horrible team.
Well, they should kind of collude and say, hey, we got 3 or 4 more jobs open. Let's give them all the black guys and then this thing will die down. That's what I think you might see.
Good point.
You know, why not? Or well, who needs a coach?
I'm Miami, so tired.
Has Miami gotten anybody yet?
No, they haven't. I'm so tired of seeing these NFL guys get away with everything, especially Schneider. you know, I'd like to see some penance.
New Orleans is probably going to promote Dennis Allen.
So New Orleans, you think is going to promote?
Yeah.
The Giants hired somebody, right?
Yeah. Hey, Todd, there's another coaching situation I wanted us to talk about, and that I can't say the guy's name. The Raiders hiring McDaniels instead of the guy that took them to the playoffs and the victory. Yeah. What do you guys think of that?
Where did McDaniels come from?
He's from New England. He's been their OC for years.
You know, but that's a tough one because it's still, you know, you got a guy that's been in a winning system for a long time.
Got the rings to prove it.
Yeah, it's all about no second. This is a second chances thing for him because he really didn't do well in Denver. And so
it's his third, actually. Because he turned down a Denver job or turned down one job, Colts job.
Colts job. So this is, you know, did he learn from that experience? And can he do better this time? Because he certainly has the credentials when it comes to everything else.
I don't think there's any question or criticism of his qualifications. It's more that this guy that never been a coach, this positions coach, took the team as far as it did, and the players loved this guy. They were really sad when when he got replaced, especially Carr.
Yeah, that's a tough one because he brought in all that chaos. He brought him through, and they did okay. And right, you could have kept him, and you had momentum, and you had a personality going. And what about Chicago? Did Chicago hire anybody?
Yeah, someone I can't think of.
A defensive coach, Eberflus is his name. I forget his first name, which is interesting.
See, that could have been defense, a good.
Because they have a young quarterback they really have to develop. So whoever they hire as their offensive coordinator is going to be a big deal. Because he took on a defensive head coach.
Poor guy had a terrible offensive line. The guy was running away every play. And and where else could Florida? Well, Miami is not going to go back to. Denver hired somebody.
Yeah, the OC from
Hackett, I think is his name.
From the Packers. That's right, Hackett. Yes, thank you.
So we still got Houston.
Houston's already interviewed Josh McCown twice. He's their former quarterback. And I thought
Flores was going twice too.
I don't think Flores interviewed twice with the Texans. I think he did
once, but I thought he had another one coming up.
Maybe. But yeah, they're pretty much because they wanted McCown. They were looking at McCown last year, but they hired Cully as a basically placeholder. There's too much smoke there in my mind that, you know, you interviewed McCown last year, you thought about him, and you decided not to because you were thinking about the situation you were putting him in if he took over. First-year coach, no experience other than coaching in high school, and you're going to have him coaching that shit show with Flotsam and Jetsam for a roster and no quarterback. So
Right. That's a mess. Unless that's not like Aaron Rodgers isn't going to go anywhere where a quarterback coach is the coach because I don't think he wants to get, you know, he'd almost like to go somewhere probably where it's a defensive guy that's a coach because, you know, he's going to count on Rodgers to carry his offense. So,
I'll take him.
And then I think Flores is not good with young guys, so Jacksonville would be out for him. So what's going on in Minnesota?
They already hired, his name is escaping me. I apologize. They're basically, I haven't announced it yet, but they've hired a guy. Maybe it's O'Connell or Conley. So that job is closed as far as, because it was going to be Harbaugh, and Harbaugh said no. And then they went with a young guy. They went with the Rams offensive coordinator. They just can't announce it until after the Super Bowl.
Oh, so this after this game, he's
you'll see the moves.
Yeah. Isn't that right? Didn't Minnesota basically decide upon the offensive coordinator from the Rams?
Yeah. Made it official. That's news I haven't gotten today. I know they didn't take Harbaugh, so that must have been something that developed today that I didn't hear about.
Yeah, Harbaugh pulled out.
I didn't hear he pulled out. I just heard he didn't get the job.
The scuttlebutt is he pulled out because he didn't really think he'd go anywhere with Kirk Cousins as his quarterback. And
I heard the same thing.
Agreed.
Who else is left then? What other teams are left? Nobody.
There's not really.
So poor Flores. So let's go to this.
The Texans fired black head coach David Culley after just one season. A season during which he got 4 wins with a Flotsam and Jetsam roster. He even got wins over the Chargers and the Titans. And who are they thinking about replacing him with? Josh McCown, a quarterback who played for the Texans, has literally 1 year of high school coaching experience and no NFL coaching experience. It boggles the mind how little rope a black head coach gets and what consideration an inexperienced white candidate gets.
Amen to that.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. It's we'll see.
You know, Byron Leftwich was a quarterback in the NFL, and he's been a coordinator for a few years now.
He's a black coordinator.
Yeah, Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
He didn't want to go to the Jaguars. He pulled his name out just the last couple of days because the general manager there, who everyone says is basically a horror show, is going to stay.
And you know, a lot does have to do with general managers. That's another point that's being talked about a lot, because like the Giants job, that was because the GM went there. The Denver job, that was because the GM got hired. So, you know, what's been talked a lot about on the national shows is that you got to get those GMs, those black African-American GMs in place, and then they can start hiring the coaches.
Yeah, Dave Gettleman didn't fit that category.
Yeah, and the Raiders actually, you know, it's another instance of bringing who you know, because the new general manager is from the Patriots, and, you know, Josh McDaniel is too, so they're kind of a package deal there.
You know, next season we're gonna start watching, we're gonna start rating these coaches, these new coaches, how they're doing, who they should have replaced, and should they have done it, and. Yeah, go ahead.
Yes. I was just going to real very quickly. So much of this is, you know, you have your two lists there. It's, you know, so many of these new coaches are going into situations with, you know, with big quarterback questions. You know,
basically,
Justin Fields, Kirk Cousins, the guy in.
Who's going to go to Tampa Bay? What quarterback's going to go to Tampa Bay? You know, they have a solid team. They need a quarterback. They can't put a new quarterback in there. They need.
Who's coming to New Orleans? We need a quality quarterback.
What about Winston?
What about him?
You don't like him?
I don't think they liked him. And
he's a horror show, that guy.
Well, I wouldn't say he's a horror show, but.
I don't like him. You know, there's some bad guys in the NFL. So I think he's a horror show. Plus, he gets hurt. And
you can't put that on him.
Yeah, some things are good. But so Winston, you think they're going to keep him? Or?
Well, they also signed that, what's his name, Taysom Hill to a big contract too. So.
Yeah.
No, I was thinking he might. I think he's probably under contract for another year, but he could go back to Tampa Bay maybe.
Hey, Sean Payton signed through to 2025. He's under contract with the Saints.
I thought Aaron Rodgers was going to go to New Orleans, to tell the truth.
That's a possibility.
I thought it was going to be Aaron Rodgers and Brian Flores in New Orleans. That was my prediction.
Oh, my God.
Flores supposedly is not good with young guys. You know, why? You think he would have butted head with Rodgers?
No, I just don't even like talking about Aaron Rodgers anymore. I guess we have to, but I'm so tired of him.
You have to, you know. He was disappointed at the end of that one. But anyway, so, next week is the pre-show. There's a certain quarterback from Pittsburgh
who retired that maybe you could persuade him to come back.
Roethlisberger? No, he ain't coming. He's done. He can't even play anymore. Brady can still play. Roethlisberger can't play. There's a difference there. Roethlisberger can't even throw the ball accurately anymore. So, he's done. But – thanks, everybody, for coming on. This was a good one. Next week, I'm hoping to be able to do it. It would be 8 p.m. Pacific time because unless it's early from SoFi Stadium. But otherwise, I'm going to really try hard to keep it going and do maybe a quick show next week, a pre-show.
You mean a show before the game or after the game?
No, it would be Thursday. I would love to do a show during the game, but I can't.
No, I said after the game.
Could you get Michaels? Can Michaels come on?
Yeah, get him.
You know, Did I tell you the story with Al Michaels? I think I told it once, where I was doing a Pro Bowl and he called down during the game and he just wanted to make sure his like car was ready to go after the game. Like he just wanted to get out of there. That was in Hawaii. Yeah, next Thursday I'm hoping to do it. I'm hoping to do one more before the game, and it would have been fun to like analyze the show, but you know, Super Bowl, pretty much they want to stay clean, make their money. I think they're doing $5 million a minute or a half minute or something on that thing. And of course, they told me their budget is tight, so they can't spend any extra money. I love that comment. I mean, like, really? Come on. Don't even say that. Your budget is tight. So
I'm sure you're getting a good day rate.
Yeah, but you know, still they say. But I'm glad, you know, and I'm super thrilled. I'm stoked to be doing
it. You deserve it.
Be there, and I'd rather be there than in China anyway. This time, I'm happy to not be in China. So I think one of the German figure skating had to pull out or something. They had someone has COVID over there, so that was the end of them. And see what happens. We have more week to go at the Pro Bowl. Really don't care about. No one cares about. And it's just the best thing about the Pro Bowl is everybody wears their own helmets, and it's kind of fun watching a lot of helmets if you like logos. So that's about it. Thanks, everybody. Lou, Eric, Casey, yeah. Thank you. Casey, always for your tips. And I never get that outro of yours to see next week. But but thank you all for coming on. Eric, thanks for popping in. Casey, thanks for your features. So thank you everybody for doing this and coming on to the show. I love everybody coming on. I'm glad we watch and glad you guys watch. The podcast will be on Todd, You're an Idiot. I'll strip the audio is a good one. I will put it on America's House Cheerleaders video. And thank you. So that is it for us. This was the game preview. We got the Cincinnati Bengals and Los Angeles Rams in Super Bowl 56. It's going to be a good one on NBC. And thank you for joining us on the show.